There we go. Great. You all have a handout on your chair. This topic is one that is probably familiar to most of you. In fact, we touched on this last week in our sermon on Sunday on using your homes for hospitality and serving and pouring out your lives for others. We're going to talk a little bit more specifically about this whole topic of serving one another by being hospitable in hospitality. So I'm going to talk a little bit about being hospitable to believers, to our fellow believers in our church. Johnny's going to talk tomorrow morning in our first session about being hospitable toward those who don't know Christ yet, and there's some exciting things we can think about there with being hospitable to minister the gospel to those who don't know Christ. And then John's going to finish it off, the second session tomorrow morning, with how God has been hospitable toward us. It's very, very exciting to think about that. So he'll tie it all together. Also, this evening, I'm going to just talk for a few minutes here, give us some basic ideas, and then we're going to break up into smaller groups of probably three or four people to talk over some personal applications of this, as well as take a little bit of time to pray. So that'll be in the latter half of our time here this evening. So I've titled this, instead of hospitality, I've titled it Be Hospitable. Be Hospitable. It's based on the verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. So you can open your Bibles up to that book if you would. I'm just going to read real briefly there in that. And of course, the verse is right there on your sheet as well. 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading from the New American Standard as well. Here's what it says. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Be hospitable to one another. That same word is used in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, in the list of qualifications for elders in a church, where Paul writes, among other things, an overseer then must be hospitable. And he repeats the same thing in Titus 1, 7 and 8, for the overseer must be hospitable. And then there is the very interesting parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Let me just really quickly read a part of that for you here. You can turn there if you want to. Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable about the sheep and the goats. Starting in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then, of course, the righteous ask, well, when did we do this, Lord? And he says that when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he says just the opposite to the goats. Their fate was 180 degrees different from the fate of those who were doing these things here in verses 35 and 36. So Jesus is talking about here people being hospitable to one another. Let me just go through some details here about the words that we use for hospitable or hospitality. It's very instructive. My eyes were really open to some things as I was looking through this. In the Greek New Testament, the word there for hospitable in 1 Peter 4, 9, also in 1 Timothy 3, 2, and Titus 1, 7, is philoxenos. Philoxenos. You can see it written out there in Greek, and I believe that's a pronunciation for it, from the two Greek words that we're very familiar with, philo, which means friend or lover of, and then xenos, which means stranger, as in xenophobia. We all know that xenos means stranger. So that word there in the New Testament that's translated hospitable means a person that's a friend of, or a person that's fond of, a person who's a lover of strangers or guests or foreigners or aliens. That's the Greek word that's used there, that's translated hospitable there in 1 Peter 4. Tyndale, in his 1534 edition of the Bible, and Tyndale was an Englishman. He was the first one to translate the Bible from Greek into English. It had been done from Latin into English. And, of course, it had been translated earlier than that from Greek into Latin. But directly from Greek to English, Tyndale, here's the word he used. He didn't say hospitable. He said, be harborous. Harborous. What in the world does that mean? Be harborous. Pretty cool, though, what it does means from the Old English, means a military refuge, a fort, fortified town. So to harbor, as we use it today, and it comes directly from this word that Tyndale used also from the Old English, to harbor means to give shelter or refuge to, or that's the verb, or the noun would be a place of security and comfort. Of course, a harbor is a place where the ships all come in too, where they load and unload. But more broadly, a harbor is a place of security and comfort, or in the verb, we give shelter to or give refuge to if we harbor something. Here's a phrase we're all familiar with. If you harbor a grudge, what are you doing to that grudge? You're giving it safe haven. You're stroking it. You're coddling it. You are nursing that grudge. We also say that. That's what those terms all mean. They have to do with giving shelter, giving refuge to, giving care to. And so Tyndale translated that Greek word philoxenos in 1 Peter 4:9. Instead of saying be hospitable, he said be harborous. Be harborous. Give that safe haven. King James and all the subsequent, most of the subsequent translations have translated it hospitable, which comes from Latin, which the origin has to do with a person being a host or describing something of a guest. Interestingly, the word hospital literally translates from Latin into guest room. Guest room. And of course, we use it now in a little different sense. If you're a guest in a hospital, it's not quite like you're being a guest, like you're getting something done to you. Really, in a hospital, you're in the guest room to be healed, to get care, to be comforted, to be restored, so you can leave that guest room and go back out into your regular life. It's a powerful word, very rich in its meaning. So I looked up a few words here, just in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, my favorite. And I'm just going to read these off to you to stimulate your thinking about what it means to be hospitable. I think we all have a general idea. This is going to give us a little different twist to things. To be a person that's hospitable is given to generous and cordial reception of guests. To be hospitable means to offer a pleasant or a sustaining environment. Boy, these things sound very good, don't they? Peaceful. A place where I can be cared for and loved. And that word cordial struck my eye, so I looked that one up as well. Here's what cordial means. Of or relating to the heart. You can see the Latin root there with heart. Tending to revive or cheer or invigorate. And here's the kicker here. Warmly and genially affable. We have no idea what those words mean. Very little idea what those words mean. So we have definitions down here of those too. So I thought, man, let's figure this out here. So in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, cordial has four or five synonyms. Words that are very close in meaning to it, of course. Different shades of meaning. to that term. So I looked those all up, and here's those. I'm just going to read those to you as well, because these all feed into what it means to be hospitable. To be hospitable. Generally, these words all refer to being markedly pleasant and easy in social intercourse. One synonym is gracious, which implies courtesy and kindly consideration. The other word, another one, cordial itself, stresses warmth and heartiness. Affable, what does that mean? Affable, here's a great definition down here, or the connotation as a synonym. Affable implies easy approachability and readiness to respond pleasantly to conversation or requests or proposals. My. That covers a lot of ground there. Genial stresses cheerfulness and even joviality. And sociable suggests a genuine liking for the companionship of others. Those are powerful terms that all relate in some manner to what it means to be hospitable to others. So why am I using hospitable rather than hospitality? Of course, they're from the same root, the same word, refer to the same thing. But I think when we use the word hospitality, we tend to think of how we can use our homes, and that's certainly or any kind of place where we've invited guests to come. That is certainly a significant context for that word. But I think it takes on a little bit stronger and broader meaning when we talk about being hospitable. So several points here, the bullet points there. Use of your home to show hospitality is one expression of this character quality. Because when we say be hospitable, we're talking about character. It's a quality of your character. Are you hospitable or are you not hospitable? That's what we're talking about. That's the question. To be hospitable involves interaction with other people. Now, some of you, as you're hearing these things, you might think, you know, I'm not a real people person. My personality is not such that I really enjoy mixing with a lot of people a lot of the time. And that's certainly true and certainly valid. Different ones of us have different needs for people time and alone time. As I mentioned on Sunday, there's times that I really want to be alone, and I love it. I just love it. But there's other times when I just love being with you all or being with other people, just, you know, talking, shooting the breeze, finding out what's going on, mixing up with people. I'm what I've learned is called an ambivert. Not an introvert, not an extrovert, but a mix of both of those things. And probably most of us are a mix of both those. Some of you are very serious introverts. Some of you are very serious extroverts, and I thank you for not speaking right now. But most of us are a mix there. So when I say that to be hospitable involves interaction with people, that is not a cause for alarm for those of you who might have a harder time interacting with people. Because God wants to really use you in the ways that He's made you to minister to one or two others in maybe a smaller context. But He also wants to grow us all up in being able to do this. Being hospitable involves a spirit that initiates and genuinely welcomes other people. Some folks are by nature initiators. They'll just walk up to a total stranger and start a conversation, and they can hit it off with them and keep it going. Other people are not quite so gifted, and you might find it difficult to initiate with people that you don't know, or even people that you do know. And so you kind of hang back. But being hospitable involves initiating toward others. And genuinely desiring to help others feel welcome in a situation. Be it your home or on the bus or in an office or outside a classroom, on a vacation, in a grocery store, talking to your two moms talking to each other across the fence, wherever it is, genuinely welcoming. So it's a spirit that initiates and asks, how are you doing? And it can be just a social nicety, but it goes deeper than that. Really, how are you doing? Other times more appropriate than others to really get into that. How are you doing? And you wouldn't necessarily ask this next question, but you might, but you certainly should be thinking about it. How can I minister to you in a way that is meaningful to you, in a way that really meets needs that you have? That's what's involved in being hospitable. This is a life or death quality to have in your life. It's so important, a character quality, that it is a qualification for a man to become an elder in the church. And I believe as those character qualities in the elder qualification list really apply to all leaders in the church, anybody who wants to lead or influence others in the church really needs to be growing in being hospitable. None of us have arrived there. We all can grow in various ways in that, but that's how important it is. Paul puts it in both those lists of elder qualifications in Timothy and Titus. If a man's going to be considered as an elder, as a pastor in the church, he needs to be a man who is hospitable. It's demonstrated hospitality in his sphere. And even more than that, that parable about the sheep and the goats that Jesus shares just makes plain that being hospitable is even more important than a qualification for a leader. Because Jesus, in that parable, was separating the sheep and the goats on the basis of whether they were hospitable or not. Isn't that what that list lays out there? I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. That's how significant hospitality is. It's a significant outward expression of an inward heart condition. Now, by saying that, of course, Jesus is not saying that if a person does all these things in the sheep list, he'll be in heaven with him. But if a person doesn't do those, is it on the goat list, he will not do those, because the basis of our salvation is not what we do. The basis of our salvation is if we place our trust in Christ as Savior. But what this is saying is that being hospitable is an super significant expression of our inward heart condition. And if we are not hospitable, then I think we should be beseeching the Lord to just to find out how he can be. You know, what's going on here? Lord, help me in this. Help me to grow in this. Again, all of us are in different places on the spectrum of being hospitable in that character quality. So we can't say of one another, boy, this person's just not hospitable. You are a goat. No, here's what Jesus says. No, that's the wrong use of that passage, and we all know that. But boy, if I realize I'm having some problems there with being hospitable, and I'm not talking so much about the hospitality in your home. I'm not talking about that exclusively. I'm talking about the broader character quality of being hospitable, of demonstrating these various aspects that we've listed up here in this synonym list. If that's your attitude, if that's your heart desire, if that's how you're expressing toward other people, then you are indeed growing in being hospitable. And the Lord would have us be hospitable. Peter says there, be hospitable, and it's point blank, be hospitable to one another without complaint. He's talking there to believers in the church, churches that he's addressing there in Asia Minor, what's now Turkey. And then he goes on, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. So spiritual gifts there, we're not going to talk about that tonight so much. And then he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So think about your home in this way, in terms of being hospitable in your home. You are a steward of your home. Ultimately, you do not own your home. Those of you that do own your homes, in the world sense, ultimately in God's eyes, you do not own your home. You are, and then if you're just renting a place, then it's more, a little more obvious. You are just a steward. God has entrusted to you this place to live, whether you own it in earthly terms, or you're just renting a place, or you just live in some place without doing either one of those. You are a steward of the place where you live. Now, I know in our home, I know Cheryl works really, really hard to make our home comfortable and pleasant and a place where we all want to live and enjoy each other. And all of you do that in your homes. And all of you should do that in your homes. But shift your thinking, if you would, from thinking that the primary purpose of my home is as a place of pleasure for me or rest for me. So I should order my home however I want to order my home. Instead, think of it in terms of you being a steward of God's possession. God has given you this home, yes, to make you comfortable, yes, to be a place of refuge for your family, yes, to be a place of healing, yes, to be a hospital in that literal sense in the old Latin for your family. That's exactly right. But instead of asking the question solely, what can I do to make my house and my home comfortable, ask this question: what can I do to use this home to be hospitable to other people? I think that's the ultimate question all of us should ask. What can we do to use our homes to be hospitable to others in the sense that we've laid out here? And man, we think about it in those terms, it makes me excited. It also makes me realize that as the father and husband in my home, that I've been kind of lax. I've been kind of coasting along here thinking, wow, our house is pretty comfortable. I like it. I want to just stay there all the time. I don't want to go anyplace else. I wish we could go out in my yard and have a good time, enjoy my family. That's exaggerating, of course. We can think in those terms, though. And God would have me in my home think of ways that I can use that stewardship to really demonstrate what God's all about in being hospitable to people. And especially to the saints. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Think about that verse there in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 10, which many of you know. I think this goes along with it. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. So we should really be in earnest about being hospitable to those who are of the household of the faith. That means all believers. It means specifically believers in our church. How can we be hospitable to one another in the senses that we've laid out here? So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, maybe just one question here, maybe a couple, and then I'm going to break us up into groups so you can think through this a little bit together. And then take a little bit of time and pray about this as well. Here's my question for you. And I might just take an answer or two here too if we have just a couple minutes. What kind of a person or what kind of people do you most like to be with? Think about that. Think about in your life, what kind of a person, or if there's more than one, what kind of people do you most like to be with? And then my next question would be, why? Why do you, what is it about that person that makes you want to be with him or her? And then what characteristics, this is related to that, what characteristics does that person have that makes him or her desirable to be with? And I think I've asked this before in some context. I can't remember if it's on Sunday morning or if it's in our small group or where it was. But so we've talked about this, and I have an answer for that. I'm not going to let you know what that is just at the moment. Maybe just one or two of you, if something comes to pops right into your head, the kind of person you like to be with, what kind of person is that? Why do you like to be with that kind of person? What kind of characteristics does that person have that makes you want to be with him or her? Any volunteers? Johnny. Interested. And how would that, being interested in others, how does it express itself in the people you're thinking about?
Asking questions, being attentive to the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Or just looking, tapping on his watch like, okay, I've got 3 minutes with you. Or looking at his phone. Oh, that's a great one today. Yes, isn't that true? Isn't that true? Great, that's great. That's great. Others? Yes, sir, Dale.
An inviter, someone that comes over and makes you feel right at home.
Wait, somebody that comes over and makes you feel right at home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, yeah, somebody invites you to their house,
his
house, and makes you feel right at home.
Yeah.
How does that person make you feel right at home? Yeah, good. Yes, LaDonna. Open, honest, sincere. How do you know when another person is sincere in the sense you're thinking about? Wow, yeah, that's good. That is good. Yes, Clifton.
I like the ones I could hear on who are worshiping Jesus in the moments that they're talking of him to me or telling me of him or just saying worship or praising him right there is natural and like part of their being instead of either non-existent or forced.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you rejoicing in him about? And that kind of pulls, if either one of us is self-conscious or preoccupied, pulls us out by either just like, go, oh yeah, it's much better to be preoccupied with Jesus than myself. Huh? What a fool. Or
yeah.
Like, they'll exhort you, like, hey man,
you're a fool. Right. Yeah, not those words, but yeah. Maybe, if the shoe fits, yeah. Yeah. That takes a real skill to do that. You know, I'm thinking, and I'm sure the rest of you have some of those things too, and you can share these with your group if you want to. There's two people in particular, two different occasions where I have experienced, that I remember. I've experienced it frequently, probably, but there's two particular cases I remember. One time, This person, this was several years ago, this person, whenever I would see him, he would just start asking me questions about me, about my life, about, you know, how things were going, and then he'd have follow-up questions, and it was so pleasant. I got to talk about myself the entire conversation. But I mean, it wasn't in the sense of I wasn't dominating the conversation. I was just answering his questions. He was eliciting those things from me. And after interacting with this guy for two or three different times, I finally realized what it was that made it so pleasant to be with him. And that's what it was. He was genuinely interested in me, just like what you said, Johnny. He was asking questions. It was very natural. I wasn't forcing those. He was genuinely interested in me. He wasn't a flashy guy. I don't even know if he was an extrovert. But he was genuinely interested in me, and so I just really enjoyed it. It was just a breath of fresh air to talk to him. One other occasion I remember, and this was long ago, back in the days when we would, most of us were single. Many of us in the room still are single, but those of us that are married, when we were back in our days when we were single and we were driving back and forth on buses to ski conferences in Colorado. One time we were on a bus heading out there to Colorado, and I was in the back of the bus on the pile of the sleeping bags in the back, the back two or three seats were just piled almost to the ceiling with sleeping bags. That's the way we did things back then. And the two of us were just perched up there on top in the school bus, roaring down the highway, no seatbelt. But this brother, he was from another church, another city. Again, he was just asking me questions about myself, and kind of what you said too, Clifton, just really sharing truth from the scriptures. Wasn't forced. It was very natural. You know, there's things he'd been thinking about, he wanted to encourage me with. And I don't know if I'd ever met this guy before that occasion on the bus, but I was so ministered to in that occasion. I think about both those situations, that those two men were being hospitable toward me. They were being hospitable toward me. Yeah, Dottie? That's great. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's great. Yeah, that's great. And if it's a situation where it might not be as easy to use your home in that way, or like what you said, Dottie, if a person that actually is probably better at it outside of his home in a different context, then by all means, that's how we should pursue that. And that's the point we're making here, too, is that to be hospitable, yes, involves your home, if at all possible, in demonstrating all these things in your home. And, of course, the Latin words refer back to a home or a place. But the Greek term there is broader. It means you are loving strangers. It means you are friend of strangers. It means you're fond of those who are foreigners or those you might not know. That you initiate toward those people, just like the Lord initiated toward us. And John will share more about that tomorrow morning about that. So here's some other questions. I'm going to have you break up into groups here in just a moment to talk these things over. And I'm particularly interested in two things. One, that in your small group of three or four, that you would come up with at least one application of how you can grow in being hospitable, and these questions will lead you in that direction. And the other is to pray together for these things, that we would be hospitable. And we're thinking here in the context of being hospitable to one another as believers, but it certainly applies to hospitality as strangers, and Johnny again will talk about that tomorrow morning, and then John will talk about how God is hospitable to us. Here's the other questions. Number two, what aspects of Jesus' character most draws you to him? We all have some concept of what Jesus was like and is like now, even though he's not here in his earthly body. How was Jesus hospitable? And that would be something to meditate on. How is Jesus hospitable? Think about that. Three, how do you feel about this priority of being hospitable or exercising hospitality toward one another? Is it something you say, yes, that just rings a bell. That rings my bell. I want to grow in this. Show me how. Help me learn how to do it. Or is it threatening? Do you feel like, yeah, whoa, boy, can I be this way? I think the answer is yes. In both situations, God is the one that works it in us. But How do you feel about it? Number four, what might it look like for you? Again, God's made each of us different. We're gifted in different ways. There's commonalities, of course, but there's going to be unique combinations for each one of us. How does it look for you to be hospitable? In your circumstances right now, how does it work out to be hospitable in your circumstances? Number five, in which aspects of being hospitable described above, and I'm thinking about these cordial, gracious, affable, et cetera, in which aspects of being hospitable described above do you most want to grow? And then number six, what obstacles do you face in being hospitable? And there are obstacles for all of us in everything. What obstacles do you face? So if you could, and we'll just have to rearrange the chairs here, just flip your chairs around so you're in groups of three or four, no more than four. That way we have some time to talk to one another. And I want you to, particularly questions three through six, I think if we got on question two, you'd probably talk the rest of the evening. Now, if you have something just burning in your bosom about that, you can certainly share that. But verses 3 through 6, certainly, or questions 3 through 6, certainly, if you could address those, that would be great. And then reserve a little bit of time at the end, say maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and I'll let you know when 5 to 10 minutes are up, when there's 5 to 10 minutes left. And we're going to go for about 30, 35 minutes here. So it gives you some time to talk in your groups. And I want you to write some things down if you can, just so you can remember how God would have you apply these things. And then I'll let you know when there's 5 to 10 minutes left to pray. We'll pray. And then we'll regather for a song after that. So break up into groups and we'll start. Well, Father, we thank you that you are indeed imparting yourself to us, that you are remaking us after the image of your very Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray you would put on our hearts, open our eyes to understand in the scriptures how you demonstrated hospitality, how you were hospitable toward all those that you interacted with. And I pray you'd just give us one or two applications to work on here immediately, oh God, to do that. Thank you that you have been working by your Spirit to demonstrate being hospitable to one another, even right here, right now, in this time that we've had here together. Thank you for that beautiful picture of your body, O Christ, and would you just make us even more glorious for your name's sake. I know we experience the benefit of all of that. Thank you for our time here together in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Indeed, what a good picture of being hospitable right here among us right now and interacting with each other. And may God make it so here rest this evening and through the day tomorrow. Because we'll have many, many more opportunities to rub shoulders, literally, with each other here on the retreat. So that's great. Look forward to it.